This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Remember, when you walk out here, woo, talking...
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Don't think you can walk in that ring and give me a hand or try to help me out and ease the tension in our relationship.
Mike Shope.
The Rolex. Wearing diamond ring, wearing kiss stealing, woo!
The Bulldog.
Wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun.
On WGR.
And we're doing it better than anybody else alive.
Sports Radio 550.
Almost never hear Howard like that. Very unusual.
They must have made him pick the Bills one too many times.
Maybe. And, you know, the appropriate response to that would be, well, let's do it again.
Right.
Again. Yeah. Yeah. Just blow that whistle.
Herb Brooks.
Again. Do they have that kind of control over him where they can just do that?
It seems like
it. Can they make Howard do that?
It seems like it. He does not seem like a willing participant in the enterprise, really. But, you know, that's just probably part of the act.
Right. So, because they have it. They're on that show, there's acts.
Yes, right.
This is totally straightforward, genuine, every time. So, I saw on Twitter today they were talking about Ryan O'Reilly. Of course they are. They're in the finals now. The Blues have not been to the finals since 1970. They're in the finals. He's a big part of it. He's a Selke finalist. Like, it's just going, not even needing to get to the Sabre side of that trade. Just Ryan O'Reilly alone. It'd be nice if there was a but this.
Right.
And there just isn't.
There really isn't.
There could be.
It's but speculative. It's really the best you can do. There's not a Sabakis terrible. Berglund quit. And, you know, Tage Thompson is the, well, maybe. And then there's a pick that's going to be barely a first-round pick.
Yeah, it couldn't have gone worse.
No. I'm really on either side. I mean, to have one of the guys, like, we know, look, the score was obvious when the trade was made that they were taking salary to make the move. They were taking salary to get the first round pick, and they were taking salary to get Tage Thompson, who was not their highest touted prospect, but he was a highly touted prospect. So you're taking salary. So you know, you should have pretty low expectations on that to begin with, but, you know, those are actual NHL players who've had actual NHL seasons and been part of decent teams in St. Louis over the years. Like, okay, just give me some time. Just be a real professional hockey player here, and, you know, I'll get by here. I'll hope the futures help me make the trade even. It's not likely to be with Berglund and Sabaki even having decent years. It probably wouldn't be even. Instead, one of them left. Just, like, I don't want to play hockey anymore.
It's so bad that the guy leaving was probably a good thing.
Well, right, because it wasn't going well, and, you know, you could have hoped maybe, you know, it's going to change if he stays. I remember hoping they're going to spend that money on another center. That was the first thought. Like, oh, you just got freed up $3.5 million. Like, go do something with it. And they didn't. And Tage Thompson was the Sabres. He mirrored the Sabres season. Like, he... Not that... Like, we were mad at the Sabres at the outset, and I wasn't exactly mad at Tage Thompson, but he wasn't really doing anything at the beginning of the year. And when they got hot, he was hot. Like, he scored a goal in that Pittsburgh overtime win. That was great. He scored a goal in regulation in Detroit and then had a great shootout goal. And those games were part of that run. And it was like, oh, now I see why he's here. Okay. And then that they went away and he went away. He just both of them fell off a cliff.
I would say just about him, a couple of shots went in for him, but it was really never much more than that. But, you know, you have five things in that trade, unless I'm forgetting something. You have Thompson, Berglund, Sobotka, the first round pick, and O'Reilly. Is that right?
Yep.
Is that the whole thing? Four for one, five
pieces.
Yeah, there
was nothing else going the other way.
And I think this is one of those, maybe this is like rare for these, that if you put those five pieces separately in front of the Sabres and ask them to rank them at the time of that trade, I would think that they might put, like, what's the value of the first round pick, the value of Tage Thompson, the value of their players. They might put the value of getting Ryan O'Reilly and his, maybe it's 5 years that were left on his contract out of Buffalo, number one. And that's the way I read that trade and have always read that trade, is that it was about getting rid of Ryan O'Reilly. And so the return is what it is. And, you know, GMs in sports do get judged on that, and that's how that goes. But the big decision that trade was to get rid of Ryan O'Reilly, a player the likes of which teams covet. And the Sabres got him, and they locked him up, and 3 years later, they decided they couldn't go on with him. And that has always been the thing about that trade. So,
yeah, I don't know that that's 100% correct, obviously, but that's very much my opinion.
Like, what was the thing? It would be Thompson or the draft pick. It almost couldn't even be the draft pick. What was the thing about that they just, like, had to do?
No, I don't think that's it at all. I think you go in wanting, feeling like you need to cleanse yourself of this player. Like, he's at, like, we're in last place again. He was here 3 years. We're getting bad results. I mean, Botra was only here for the third year, but I got to do something. And, you know, toxic was a word used to describe their dressing room. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's all on Ryan O'Reilly, that, like, he was the toxicity. But whatever was happening wasn't working. And so you start trying to find a fit here to move something, to change your mix of players. And he checked the most boxes to me. So that was the move. I don't think there's any way. I mean, Botro might even tell you he knew making the trade, he wasn't going to make the team better, like, by having Sabaka and Berglund outperform Ryan O'Reilly. That could not have been his expectation at all. I think his expectation might have been, these guys will give me something, and Casey Mittelstadt, maybe he overestimated what that would be and missed on that too. That's a part of this conversation, I think, for at least last season. And it doesn't mean, like, Mittelstadt isn't going to work out eventually for the Sabres and be a very productive player, but it maybe was too soon to expect that from him, and that's on the GM too. But, yeah, I don't think he could have thought, I'm making this trade and we're going to be better because of it entirely, like, on the ice. It was, I got to change my locker room. This isn't working.
So what's the verdict?
I would still trade Ryan O'Reilly. I would still do it. I would hope to make a better trade. I mean, the trade is a disaster. There's no, I mean, I'd have to be, I mean, just, you'd have to be the most bullheaded fan ever, I think, to sit here and say, you know, I would make that trade again. You know, I mean, you could do worse even. Who knows? I mean, than you did here. Like, Carolina got less than what the Sabres have for Jeff Skinner, and
not in terms of, they didn't eat any money though.
That's right. But as far as, like, replacing him on the roster, yeah. I mean, that did not exist for them at all.
The Hurricanes took Jeff Skinner off the roster, and that was the end of it. The Sabres took O'Reilly off the roster and replaced him with three guys, all of whom stunk. I mean, that was a negative versus air. They would have been better off not taking any of the three players, or at least not having them on their roster this year, than what they did.
Right. So, I mean, like, Sale summed it up last hour, too. Like, you know, I said it earlier. The minute O'Reilly spoke the way he spoke at the end of the year, like, I think I'd feel naive just taking that at face value and feeling sorry for him and appreciating his honesty. I think a pro athlete that's been through what Ryan O'Reilly, this was not his first contractual rodeo or his first, you know, his first time being cast out of an organization. Colorado moved him out, and that was contentious a couple of different times contractually there. So I think he knew what he was saying when he said, I lost my love for the game. I think he likely knew that they were shopping him a couple of months earlier, and, like, I want out of here. This isn't any fun. And, like, I can respect that personally.
Well, I mean,
he wanted to go somewhere else, but you say that, I got to trade you.
You can respect it, and you can maybe easily understand it. Like, that's the challenge that the Sabres have, or it's one challenge that they have, is how do we have that not happen again? How do we not just continue along as an organization that has people hoping to leave? And, you know, with the Sabres, it's possibly unfair to connect all these things, but they are all Sabre things. You know, like through the years, it's a part of the story of the organization, different ownership, several different ownership groups and people, and different players and different eras. Like the Sabres have, for some strange reason, this continuing history of alienating their best players. And like, how? Why? Is it relevant what happened to Dominic Hasek, what happened to Ryan O'Reilly? Maybe it isn't. But I think that that kind of history tends to compound. And the longer you go as a team where that's part of your story and without winning, the tougher it logically would seem to become to keep that from happening. So what was, like, I don't know. Like, it's hard to talk about because you don't get to know much, and that's intentional. These are personal things that teams are loath to talk about. So what exactly happened between O'Reilly and other players, or what exactly happened about O'Reilly that made it so that the Sabres said the best course of action is to just basically cut him? That's really what that's almost what that is. Like, we're just going to get rid of him. And it's how do you know how to judge that if you don't know what it is?
Right.
But it looks terrible. It looks like a terrible decision. And I know that a lot of people, and I know this because people are saying it to me, a lot of people are like, no, well, it had to happen. And I would go this far, at least with that, and have always said this about that trade, as bad as it has looked, you can trade anybody and get better. You can trade Brian O'Reilly or Jack Eichel. You can trade anybody and improve. It's not like that isn't possible. You know, you can do that.
Especially in that sport.
Well, okay, right? Because of how random it is, or even it is.
Like, Carolina traded Jeff Skinner and got better.
Yep.
And he wasn't hurting them performance-wise. I don't know what chemistry issues were with them or what, but I feel like there's a parallel there. Like, the way it sounded in Carolina when Rod Brindamore took over, we want players who are going to do it this way. And it sounded to me, when I read those quotes, I never heard him say these things. I read them and I thought, wow, they are going to pin that on Jeff Skinner. Like, he's going to get traded, and it's going to be like, he's the head on the post for, you know, work hard at both ends and all that sort of stuff.
And so what happened this year with Carolina, I'm sure they're giving themselves a lot of credit for that plan. Their shooting percentage went up, which is probably almost definitely not anything to do with effort. Their save percentage went up, which is the same. And Jeff Skinner, who was a great goal scorer, was not there. It's just sort of upside down in that way. And there they went to the conference finals. 803-0550, our number. Here's Mark with us. Hi, Mark.
Hi, guys. The Ryan O'Reilly deal, as bad as it turned out, the thing that it reminds me of the most is, on some levels, is the Marshawn Lynch trade. The Bulls invested in a number one pick in Marshawn Lynch. He was a productive guy here. They gave him away to Seattle for a song, and he went on to a lot of success after he left here. Sabres had given up a couple of players in that draft that were first-round draft picks and some other assets, and essentially just turned out to be a total disaster. I also wonder if part of the deal with O'Reilly, this is just speculation, although there was some kind of inklings of stuff, that maybe they felt the only way that they could really make Eichel the de facto captain of the team and make him the sole leader of this was to move O'Reilly out, and how you put a price on that, or was it worth this terrible trade? You know, you certainly can't justify it for that, but I wonder if that was part of the factoring also.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Like, I hate to have to keep saying this, but it's the only right way in my mind, is that, like, I wish I knew. I just know this, as ridiculous as it would be if I were the GM of the team. It's ridiculous. Don't tell me how ridiculous it is. I know that premise. Like, as ridiculous as it would be, all that stuff about relationships and behavior and, oh, you're sad, oh, you're mad, all that stuff. My mantra would be performance wins the day. And what I had in O'Reilly was a guy who performed. And I would probably know most of the stories and maybe hate all of them about what is going on here in the room. But the room is not going to tell me what to do. And if the guy plays, he stays. And it's hard for Buffalo to get good players. And they did. And he played fully to the level they had the right to expect him to. And they were dissatisfied and they fired him. And there is something wrong about that. As right as a lot of these points are about what happened, there is just something fundamentally wrong about that. The thing that has to matter most is how you play. And in a day and age where we are not perfect, but better than ever at measuring that, he was really good. And they fired him on a bad team. And there's something wrong about that. So, you know, I think we have a lot of teams, maybe including ours. I hope not, but there's the history is history. We have a lot of teams that make their decisions on things like these intangibles and culture. And it's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I think he was sacrificed in the name of that.
I think he was, but their results also weren't good, despite however good he was. And like that has to be folded into the equation too. Like Jason Bottrell gets here and like I can't know right now. I mean, maybe someday we'll find out more about it. I don't have more on it right now. But if there was ever any kind of meeting of the minds of whoever really mattered there, whether it's just O'Reilly, whether it's the other veterans on the team, whether it's the young, whatever it is, it's like a come to Jesus meeting. Like, look, this is a valuable, important player. You're a valuable, important player. We're going to need to make this work. And like that could have happened. I don't know that it did or didn't. If it did, maybe it didn't work. And so you're the GM. You're still like, okay, we're in last place. I mean, what am I going to do? I've got this is a mess. And everybody bears responsibility there. The guys left behind have some responsibility for not being able to make it work. Like it's not just like O'Reilly was this stained scarlet letter wearing individual that needed to be. It's all your fault. You go, you know, he also met some criteria that made him tradable. He didn't have a no move clause. He didn't have to get permission to move him. And he's valuable. Like someone would want him. Like, so, okay, well, this works. I can do this and try to change this mix of personalities here that are clearly not working right now together. It's always very hard. Like I think performance should, I guess I would say it this way. I assume that they valued his performance and decided, despite that, this isn't working and it can't work. It's not going to work. Otherwise, I think you would try as hard as you can. You'd go further because you're definitely not going to win the trade.
Well, that's a big question, and I won't assume that they valued it, but I wouldn't assume that they didn't. I don't know which that is. I just know what they decided to do.
Right.
And, you know, I think you have to question. I don't know. I don't want to assume it. I think you have to question what they really thought of him, the player, you know, and what that was worth. Because as soon as he was traded, your next big job was to get someone just like him. Someone who was going to match up with the top forward. Someone who's going to play in his own end. You knew. You should have known. The Sabres had no excuse for this. They should have known especially because it happened when he was here. They should have known how badly run over they get 5-on-5. And Ryan O'Reilly being off the team is not going to make that better by himself. If you thought Casey Mittelstadt was going to make that better, replacing Ryan O'Reilly with him, you're insane. Like that would be ridiculous. They may have. They may have.
I can't believe they did. I think you must have just been willing to. I think the expectation is probably more you were hoping Berglund and Sobotka in some form were going to ease Mittelstadt's transition into the NHL. And that never got off the ground, and then Berglund quit. Yeah. It would be like malpractice, I think. General manager malpractice to have thought Casey Mittelstadt was going to step in and spell Ryan O'Reilly.
What did they think then? Like, what did they think they had on the ice after that? And Skinner helps, but Skinner's not that. Skinner finishes Jack Eichel's plays. you know? It should have been Reinhardt. I think it should have been Reinhardt that, you know, steps into that role and comes off the role he's on, and then you go from there. But yeah. I wonder, like, so they do that, and they crack a beer, you know, and they're all relieved and maybe happy, and they go, okay, good. But Tage Thompson is not going to do that job. Mittelstadt's not going to. What is the plan? And then you get into the season, and the coaching was just so, like, immovable and inflexible that, I mean, that winning streak was almost, like, the worst thing that could have happened to them, because maybe they felt some duty to stay with who they were in November because of it. And just, like, you know, you saw the rest. 803-0550. We'll get back to your calls right after the update next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Contract is never done until you get it signed. But our discussions with Jeff have been extremely positive. And I think it's been a relationship that's worked out very well for the Buffalo Sabres. And I think it's a relationship that's worked out very well for Jeff.
Jason Botterill on Friday. See what happens. He sounded somewhat optimistic in that conversation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And also read optimistic in that conversation. But, you know, we'll see. Like, what's Skinner's incentive to deal now? Depends how good the offer is. Like, if the offer is so good that he wouldn't expect to really do better and he wants to stay, he's at least open to it, then he could sign it.
That's why you do it, yeah. But it does – that surprise was not here Friday, so I didn't get a chance to talk about it. I talked a little bit about it on Monday with Paul. It surprised me that Botterill was as optimistic sounding, because I've been of the mind that the season's over. Of course he's going to go at least to the window to negotiate with other teams and see what's out there. But maybe he won't. Maybe he'll just be that guy that goes, I got everything I need right here. I'm close to home. Team's good. I'm playing with one of the best players in the world. And I like the new coach. Fine. Where do I sign? You know, for $64 million.
It's as easy as that.
It's a big part of it.
Here's Christian with us. Hello, Christian.
Hey, guys. I'm sitting in St. Louis as a Buffalonian, feeling a little bit somber right now. But Mike, you said something that really caught me. I was thinking last year that O'Reilly did have to go. But now that I think about it, Buffalo does have a hard time attracting good athletes. And I think they should have kept him. I think ultimately maybe it came down on Housley not to be strong enough as a coach to make that locker room right. Because you have to take advantage of the players you have when you get good guys. And I'm wondering now, if we had a stronger coach, if he'd still be on the team, maybe we still would have gotten Skinner after all.
Well, it's an organizational failure, you know, that one. And it's got to be the player's responsibility to some extent, or the group of players, and then the coach, and then the GM. They've, you know, been through different people in the short time O'Reilly was here. Ownership, like, you... If you have a situation, almost, it goes without saying, like, if you have a situation where an important player is unhappy, like, well, why? And how do you fix that? And the Sabres ultimately decided, I guess, they couldn't. So, you know, go Blues. I mean, I have a friend in St. Louis I've been talking to, Christian, and he says it is just crazy for the Blues. Like, there is just, it's totally legit. The fans are all into it. He's telling me stories about how the owner got a question when they made the coaching change about Lewis for Hughes, and he got mad at the question. He's like, no, we're still pretty good. And there was also, like, what, they're all singing Gloria. They went out for karaoke.
Yeah.
After their first win, after a losing streak or something?
I don't know the whole backstory. I just know that Gloria is, like, the anthem now.
Which, yeah. Gloria?
Gloria. The
Van Morrison?
No. The
Laura Branigan?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That one? I was kidding, but.
Yeah, no, that's it.
You got that, Christian? Can you sing that for us?
Gloria, I think you got my number.
That's great.
Yeah, does it. You. Yeah.
See, this is a player we need. Does it.
Christian? Yeah,
yes,
right.
We need Christian on our team.
Right. Cool. Yeah, I have no doubt it's crazy there. Like, I think the market, I mean, it's 3 years older than Buffalo. They came in 1967. Their only three finals appearances are as part of that other six, making it out of that side of the bracket to play the traditional old six, original six, in the final. And they got swept all three times, and they've never been back. And I think, like, ownership-wise, there's been some ebbs and flows and, like, you know, the colors have always been, well, we're similar enough, you know, originally on regular TVs. But I think even youth hockey-wise, I think St. Louis is really a pretty hot place for that, too. So I think the sport matters there in a way that might surprise people who don't pay attention to, you know, a team in the Midwest. But the Blues, I think, have a pretty solid base, and I think the sport matters a lot in the community, and a lot of kids play it at a very high level.
Bulldog, I've got a 10-year-old who plays youth hockey in St. Louis, and it's not as big as Buffalo for sure.
Okay.
Buffalo's a much bigger sports town. I grew up playing hockey at Holiday Twin Rinks.
Right. Excellent. Well, the reason I say that mostly is that I know just from, like, my own son, my oldest son, has been playing at a pretty high level, and I just see St. Louis a lot when it comes to guys that are getting committed to colleges and guys that are playing high-end hockey, junior hockey in the United States and in Canada. Like, St. Louis is a place that grows players.
Yeah, I feel good about being there. Maybe I'm a bit of a homer with that comment, but
right. Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah. I mean, I don't know firsthand. I'm just basing it off, you know, what I see on, you know, the USHL and the NAHL drafts and things like that, and, like, prospects as they're rated. St. Louis produces players.
Nice to hear from you, Christian. There was another football thing. I'm going to just go with this now. It's on my mind. Meant to mention it with Sal on, and we didn't. So the overtime vote didn't happen. It's not going to change. The rules are not going to change on that. Did you see how they changed the playoff schedule?
I read something about it, and it didn't really register when I read it. Oh, wait. No, it's pretty easy. I saw something else about triple headers or something like early games, and you'll get a late game where sometimes you didn't. So you always get three games. Every market gets three games on a Sunday. So I'm conflating that with the playoff thing. What's the playoff thing?
They're moving the Sunday of the divisional round to 3 o'clock, 3 and 6:30.
So it's like the championship game Sunday.
Yeah. Instead of 1 and 4:30. Thumbs down for me.
So
that Chiefs-Patriots game went to like 11 on a Sunday.
Right.
When did the Super Bowl end? Same thing. Like the right. Sunday night.
So Saturday
wrap
night.
Wrap it up.
Saturday night of the divisional round has been that way anyway, right?
Saturday night, I think, is 4:30 and 8:00.
Okay, right.
But, you know, Saturday night.
Saturday night, right.
I think those are the 4 and 8 or something.
Yeah, right.
But Sunday is 1 and 4:30.
Right.
And now it's 3 and 6:30 for the divisional round.
Yeah, I don't really need that.
I don't need that.
No. No, you didn't have to do that.
And the streak continues of us complaining about sports being on too late.
Right, right,
right. Right, Joe? You're in there going, these two.
I love it.
Farts.
I would never want to change it. I love it.
Make it later. Joe wants it on at midnight.
Yeah, I want sports 24/7. I want it on when I wake up and when I go to bed.
And I totally, but it's because of my work schedule, I totally want 10 a.m. games. Yeah, I can watch them. I could watch them and then, you know, come here. That's a very lucky situation, but I would love a 10 a.m. baseball game every day.
Yeah, designing a sport league schedule around our schedule would probably not serve the greater good.
Yeah, you should know I wouldn't actually make that rule.
It wouldn't really work for most people, I don't think.
I do think there could be a Major League Baseball game every afternoon for people who, you know, can.
Yeah, like teams just have to take turns doing that.
Take turns.
Yeah.
There were a few today.
Yeah. No.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
3 and 6:30.
The other thing, you sort of perked up. You looked like you knew what I was talking about with the other thing. When they say triple header, they're talking about the Sunday night games. Every market will get a 1, a 4, and a 8:30, basically, on Sundays now.
That's always been true, though.
No, I think they're talking about the local markets. So, like, the example that was used here was the Giants and Jets. If you live in New York, you would get the Jets game at 1 o'clock maybe, and you get the Giants game at 4 o'clock, and because those are both in the local market, you would not get a third game.
Right.
It would just be those two.
The third game.
So now between the 1 o'clock and the 4 o'clock window, it's mandatory that you'll get at least three games.
That's what
which
it
I think
is.
Has kind of been the case here anyway. So I don't know if that'll affect it too much in Buffalo, but like New York, I saw was an example where they never get three games.
All right, thank you for having the nuts on that. I guess I missed that too. That's what happens when you don't read anything in depth. You just look at it and go like, "Oh, okay, I guess I got that." I'll keep moving here. I gotta see what the president said. I just keep scrolling. Wow. Oh, I'm mad about that now. Okay, scroll.
It sounds
scroll.
Like you know what to do here. It sounds like you know what to change here.
Yeah, read a little.
Read the thing actually, that you need to read and don't even look at the other stuff.
Right?
Those are both pluses. Right. Those are both gains.
Right. Probably.
You know?
Yeah, probably.
Don't you think?
Yes. I don't know. I want to stay in touch. I think about you were the first one who mentioned it to me, and I think you told me it was Brent Musburger who said, like, don't just get your news from the source that you like your news from. You should expose yourself to others because otherwise you're just going to, it's an echo chamber. You need the input from the other side.
Right.
So I do that. It can be hard to do, but I still try to do that. I don't just follow liberal sites. I follow or liberal people. I follow a mix of people because I want to see what's out there.
I follow Britney Spears.
Really?
I actually recently stopped. It was one of those deals where I had to stay at 550.
550, right. Yeah.
So I dropped. I didn't have to. I chose to drop Britney Spears. I used to follow Lindsay Lohan. She was interesting to me. Mm. Ken Jennings, the Jeopardy guy.
I saw you retweet him a little while ago.
No, he's funny.
No.
Follow him. Richard Lewis. Richard Lewis follows me. I don't know why, but he does. And so I follow Richard Lewis and get Curb updates.
Is he one of these guys that follows like a billion people or something?
Maybe.
I don't know. I've never, I don't know. Like,
10,000.
How many?
10,000.
That's a lot.
I remember at one point being like, oh, Jose Bautista is following me. And then I looked and he's following like 1.2 million people. I'm like, okay. Chuck D from Public Enemy. One of my musical heroes. Love him. Same thing. It was like, you know, oh, Chuck D retweeted me. He's following like, you know, a billion people.
You got that check mark though.
Yeah, right.
You're of some possible value to people like that. Right. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Anyway,
when is Curb coming back? You get these Curb updates.
I don't know. I know they're making it. If they're not done, like they're making a 10th season. And I drafted it in our sitcom draft, so you guys, I'll have to tell you what happens. You won't be at liberty to watch it since you drafted other shows.
Yeah, the only,
I was not in that draft, so I can watch
it. The thing I know about Curb is that Jeff Tweedy, speaking of musical heroes from Wilco, is going to be in Curb this new season.
Yep.
He's been in Parks and Rec before, I think, and maybe something else. Portlandia, I think he's been in a few times. So anyway, he's going to be, I don't know if it's a long-running role or what, but he's featured in Curb this year.
But Super Dave died. Marty Funkhauser, Bob Einstein, he died. So I don't know like if he's going to be in anything or not, but like I loved him on that show. That was a tough one. We will take a break and get Paul Hamilton coming up at 6.
Right.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, 803-0550. This is WGR.
All right, we got not one, but two pair of tickets to go check out Chris Young. This show is Friday night at Darien Lake Amphitheater. Minimum value of this prize is $80, courtesy of our friends at Live Nation. General contest rules apply. I think the reason we're giving away two right now is because the show is Friday, so you need to come here and get them tomorrow. Or we fell behind somewhere else or whatever. And it doesn't really matter. All you need to know is callers 5 and 6 right now are going to win concert tickets to go see Chris Young. 644-9878. You can still buy these tickets yourself at livenation.com.
Just thinking about Hubie Brown. So last night was game 4. Toronto won fairly easily. Toronto-Milwaukee. Go to Milwaukee for game 5. I assume that's tomorrow, but I don't know. Tomorrow probably.
I gotta look.
Hubie Brown is Mark Kestisher's color guy on ESPN Radio. They'll have the finals too. And I spent Monday with Mark in Toronto, and he was talking about Hubie a little bit, and it was kind of funny. Like he really reveres him, and he was talking about how their schedule is sort of shaped around Hubie Brown's schedule. Like, they have meetings at certain times, and usually, like, it's early. Like, we're talking about watching sports early because it's better for us because we get older. Hubie Brown is 85 and is on that broadcast, and, you know, if he wants it, he's going to get it, I think.
He gets up early, and he wants his meetings done early, and because he probably, I'm going to just say, in defense of someone who naps every day, like myself, I'm going to say he wants his nap later. So he wants to get the meetings out of the way first.
Right, I guess. Hubie Brown played at Niagara in the early 50s, and he's on that broadcast.
The game is tomorrow, 8:30 in Milwaukee. And then if they the next game is Saturday in Toronto. So they're going Thursday, Saturday, game 7.
Yeah, that's guaranteed now.
If they get all the way there, it's on Memorial Day. So we'll have game 7 of that against the game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final.
That's Monday?
Stanley Cup Final begins Monday in Boston. Yeah.
I have a chance to sneak in a cover, a backdoor cover on Memorial Day's weather.
I don't know. I saw pretty good. Were the words used on the screen on the forecast here on Channel 2? Pretty good.
Okay,
you're gonna settle for that? Pretty good.
I mean, I think it's a push. I swear by Memorial Day weather. I mean, 75 and sunny is what I guess I need to be.
Yeah.
To be able to swear by it, and I just think so many times that's just come through. Since I ever started thinking about it, I feel that it's a sure thing. But right now, I've got 67. And cloudy on Weather Channel app. So I think I could sneak in a cover there. I think I could get the late touchdown to cover that. You know, if it's like 71 and you're outside and the sun is out at 4 o'clock on Monday, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. That's what I'm hoping. I want to sneak in a cover.
I want to say again that it matters more to me what it's like on Saturday and Sunday than it does on Monday. And that is just very specific to my life. Like, we'll be getting things rolling at the cottage up in Ridgeway. We have not been up there at all as a family. I've been up there a couple times to, like, get a lawnmower fixed, but we have not spent minute one in the house or cleaning up the yard or any of it. And normally by this time of the year, the last, I don't know, 10 years, that's all done. Like, we're in there and we're ready. When we get there Memorial Day, it's like, what do you want to grill? And instead, we're going to get there on Friday after the show, and it's going to be just, there's still mouse poop everywhere. I mean, it's just a mess in there. But Saturday, Sunday is what matters more to me. Monday, I'll just be coming back from there. Not like it's so far away, but like, I won't be doing something on Monday other than just driving home. Saturday, give me a good Saturday and a Sunday. That's what I want.
Thunderstorms.
Great. That's not what I said.
That's not Canada, though.
You weren't listening.
I'm looking at Grand Island.
It can be a lot different. It can be different. It's not that far away because of the lake.
We'll have to see.
There have been plenty of summers where people are here complaining about the weather, and I'm over there going, oh, man, I'm all good.
So, it happens.
Yep.
Paul Hamilton after sports. Stay tuned.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.